on YouTube though.
Yep.
Okay, you can go ahead.
Right on.
Yes.
Brandon O'Mara?
Hold on, David.
Sorry.
I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order now.
Yeah, well, let's welcome everybody for our meeting of the Salem Airport Advisory Commission. I believe we can get started and call this meeting to order. If you wouldn't mind doing the roll call, please.
All right. Brandon O'Mara?
Nope.
Brendan's running late or is not here, so we can come back in later.
John Foley?
Present.
Lieutenant Colonel Edgecombe?
Present.
Douglas Breneiser?
I'm here.
Kat Pence?
Present.
Ken Kettys?
Here.
And Neil White?
Neil.
He was here.
Yeah, who's Neil?
I guess you're not going to be talking. I was going to say, I can hear you, and then you're going to be done anyway, something.
Neil is joining. We dropped him. He's back. Give
there
him just
is.
A second. Okay, here we go.
Neil White?
Yep. Here, Neil.
He's gone. No, he's gone.
Yep, Brandon's back.
Oh, Brandon's coming in.
Give us a couple more minutes here and get our act together. So you think we've never done this before.
Okay, so Brendan's here. Ask him. He's here.
Brandon O'Mara?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brandon, you missed the introduction. The person that was calling your name is Caleb Sain. He's our new staff commissioner. You don't recognize him.
All right, did we get through all that?
Looks like Neil's back on. Neil confirmed his presence.
Well, he and Brandon are both on mute.
Hey, Neil, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm mute, Neil.
Yeah, I don't know if you're on double mute. I'm not sure how you're calling in. Sometimes you get your phone muted and then you get your get the Zoom thing muted.
Secret rotation mute.
Unmuted?
No. Well, we've got a quorum that can hear it and see it. Some of you, if you want to wait, John, if you want to hear me. Hear me.
Do they have a, is there a chat or anything?
Oh, Neil's calling me right now, stand by.
Hang on. It's disabled. It's disabled.
Can't unmute.
It's like a lower left-hand corner is where I see it.
A reminder, anybody can use the space bar and hold that down to release your temporary. That's why I stood on mute just so my background noise was filled the room.
Got it.
Oh.
Okay, we got you.
We're good. All right, thanks, folks.
You're unmuted, Neil.
Thank you, Brendan.
We can't hear you.
Hey, I can see you now, Neil. Great.
Okay.
Well, now that we've done roll call, we'd like to go to approve the agenda from the last meeting. It was distributed with the it was distributed. Have everybody had a chance to review the agenda for this meeting? Are there any changes or corrections needed?
Not that I saw.
All right. If there aren't any, could I ask one of y'all to move to approve the agenda as distributed?
So one point of order.
Yes. Go ahead.
There's an item on the agenda that was predated and presumes that we've already met and approved the item. Item 6A.
The letter of support?
That's correct.
I don't think it presumes that we've already discussed and approved it. I think it's listed there as we'll have a, hopefully, we'll have a motion to restate our support for ours, AAC, as the for commercial air service development, but we have to get to that. we'll have a discussion and somebody will move and we'll vote on whether or not we restate that support. I think what was provided in the packet for the meeting was a draft letter. So we can discuss the details of that letter when we get to it. But don't think that was, it's on the meeting. We haven't actually approved it. Does that answer your question, Ken?
No. I object to having it on the meeting and move that we postpone that item until the next meeting, because the wording of it presumes that we've already made a decision and it's already dated.
Could I ask that we get to that when we're in the part of action items?
Well, we're at the approval of the agenda and it's on the agenda.
Well, I guess we have a motion to approve the agenda. Do we have a second for it?
Second.
We have a second. Typically, we do a roll call vote to approve the agenda. I know we had some discussion there. Is there any other discussion on this, or do we just want to move to approve or not approve it? Or do we want to? Is there a motion to amend it, I guess, Ken?
Well, it was a point of order that I raised.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think there are two options. You can take a vote on the motion that's on the floor. If there's an alternative motion, then you could entertain that. If there's no second, it would die for lack of a second and return to the original motion. So that's up to you. If you want to vote on one, if you want to have Ken move to make a different motion.
Okay, well, so I guess we already have a motion. I guess there could be, if you would like to amend it to remove that item, I guess you could, Ken. You'd need a second to do that, though.
I've already moved it.
Okay. Are there any seconds? I guess, do we need to force that, or can we just do a vote on the amendment?
Well, there's no second for the...
Yeah, it's probably not going to
back to the original motion.
Okay, well, since there is no second, we'll go ahead with the original motion and we'll do a roll call vote. And the vote would be to approve the agenda as distributed. Doug Brenneiser.
Aye.
Lieutenant Commander Edgecombe.
Aye.
Brendan O'Mara.
Aye.
Ken Geddes.
No.
Pence.
Aye.
Neil White.
Aye.
John Foley also says aye. So we've approved the agenda as distributed, and we will come back to this particular action item when we get there. All right. Moving on to the next agenda item. Has everyone received and reviewed the minutes from the July 21st meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
And are there any corrections needed to those? All right, if there are no corrections, could I ask someone to move to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
I move to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
For a second.
My second.
All right. Then we'll do another roll call vote here. Doug Brenneiser.
Aye.
Lieutenant Commander Edgecombe.
I will abstain since I missed it.
Okay. Brendan O'Mara.
He's muted.
Gotta hold down that space key. We'll come back to Brendan. Ken Geddes?
Approve.
Kat Pence?
Aye.
Neil White?
Aye.
And John Foley says aye. So we've got enough votes to approve that, so we can just move on. The next part of our item on our agenda is public comment. So as I understand it, we did not have any public comments prior to the meeting. So there's really no stuff there. So with that, we can move on to the fifth item on our agenda, which would be the reports. And I guess we have a tower chief report and a court manager report. Was Rob Boyle's not present to give that.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, Rob's actually up in the tower working again tonight, so he wasn't able to attend. He did send me a very, very short list of information from the tower. So I'll go ahead and read the report. Their traffic count for the quarter since the last meeting, 14,370 operations. Their busiest day was 303 operations. I added in my own notes, year to date through September, we're up to 34,823 operations, which is slightly over 6,000 more than the previous year. But since 2020 was kind of an off year with the pandemic, I went back to our last busy year, which was 2018. And we're currently about 3,600 operations ahead of 2018 today. So we're on pace now for close to 45,000 operations a year, which will be the most since 2009. Very busy, robust season out there, which is great.
All you need to do is
they didn't have any in-flight equipment malfunctions, no accidents or incidents since the last meeting. We did have one pedestrian deviation. We had a pedestrian that entered taxiway Charlie in the south VA ramp without clearance. It was one of the firefighting aircraft that were staged here in the first ring. The pilot was just wandering around talking on a cell phone across the movement line without power clearance. No impediment with any aircraft or anything like that. That was just a whole bunch of paperwork for the FAA. In terms of staffing, he has two new controllers up in the tower. They were both checked out and operating on their own as of October 5th. And then he states that he's got one controller that will be leaving on November 5th. Hiring and training mode once again. That's part of the reason he hasn't been able to join us the last couple of weeks. He's been filling in for missing staff. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that concludes the tower chief notes. If anybody has any questions or anything I can get back to Rob on, I'm happy to do so.
Okay. Any other questions or things for John or Blade or Rob?
How many electric-powered aircraft have taken off or landed in the last month?
None that we're aware of.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. With respect to the airport manager report, John distributed that with the meeting material. Were there any questions or anything you wanted to add to that report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I might just add, so in lieu of public comment, I have a couple of airport tenants that are, I believe are joining us via the, or at least watching via the YouTube live stream. And what I agreed to do for them is just take a note in here in my airport manager report, item number 4 about the airfield driving rules and regulations. These are a couple of folks that were having difficulty down in the south end with vehicles driving unsafely or discourteously around aircraft. And that prompted the email that I sent to all airport users and copied the AAC along with a copy of the airport rules and regulations. So I wanted to just make note of that for those folks' benefit that it is included in our report to the AAC. And I'm hoping that issue has resolved itself on the south end, but we'll stay posted on that. Other than that, I don't have any other specific things to address, although in item 5, which is the Cascadia Subvention Zone Preparedness Plan, Commissioner White had asked for an update on that last meeting, so I got a pretty robust analysis here, update I should say. But the very last bullet item, with the Oregon Department of Human Services new emergency management unit, actually had a conference call with those folks, Wednesday, it was yesterday morning. And we are setting up their demonstration / functional exercise. It's actually in early February now, but we had a pretty robust discussion with those folks. And the head of that department, Ed Flick, and also Spencer Carroll, were both original members of the Airport Emergency Preparedness Committee that Commissioner White put together now about 3 or so years ago. So I'm happy to have them back in the role. We've got a connection now besides the Emergency Management Department. may consider storing some material here. So we've got a lot of new discussion points. It was a really good meeting to have with those folks. But I just wanted to throw that in there as an update since I had sent this last week.
Okay.
John?
Yeah.
John, Pascal, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And Neil, we'll be reconvening at some point down the road as I get more information. I'll let you know if you'd like to participate or at least observe the demonstration they're going to do in February. It's kind of for the benefit of some of the legislators. So they want to do it early in the year so that they can do it before the short legislative session, because they're going to seek some funding for some emergency preparedness equipment material throughout the state. So they've done these so far, I think they said, at Astoria Airport. They're doing one at McMinnville here shortly. They're going to do one at Redmond. They're going to do one here at Stanford. Kind of tying together all of the key airports or the key airports in the state that would respond to a cascading level of events. I'll keep you posted on that, Neil. And as I understand it from those folks, I guess it would be an update to this report too. It sounds like the Cascadia Rising 2022 event has been canceled or at least postponed without any future date noted. So they're actually going to work with the city emergency management and myself and some other folks to prepare a smaller scale functional exercise sometime probably in the summer of 2022 so that we can still get some hands-on training. So there's actually a lot going on in that area right now. And as you can tell from my master report, there's just quite a lot going on across the board. So it's a very busy time right now.
Thank you, John. I'm anxious to attend.
Yeah. I'll let me know. Thanks, Neil.
I have a question for you, John, regarding thanks for that item as well. You mentioned in the report that there was, an FAA grant for emergency generator, and then another item, there was a state grant, Inspire grant for a portable generator. Are those the same generator?
Those would be different, Mr. Chairman. So the FAA has very limited scope of what they will fund. Airport infrastructure, airport operations. That grant item, and I put it in there, I believe, for 2024. That would be, for the most part, connected to the airfield lighting system. And so the FAA will fund that because it's a common use thing and it's not related specifically to a region's emergency disaster preparedness. It's for any power outage, for any. The Spire grant, which is a state grant, and I think the last time they issued any Spire grants was back in 2018, so there's a new round coming next year. That's geared specifically towards preparedness and incident response. And so my hope would be there that we could procure a portable generator that we could attach to other than the airfield lighting system. So whether it's the fuel tanks or the terminal building or some other infrastructure that would also not have power, possibly the air traffic control tower and the terminal, something like that. That's my hope. In 2018, they had a very limited scope as well, and it was equipment that had to be used regularly and it had to have a place to be stored. So there was some sidebars on what was eligible. But we're certainly going to try again in 2022 to see if we can find some hope for power generation for other parts of the airport.
Great.
Any other questions about the airport manager's report?
A couple of the items, obviously, we'll be talking about in the action items, but I wanted to summarize them there.
Well, it's good that we're preparing because there was a 4-point not too long ago, last couple days.
I do have one other question. On the air service development item, you had mentioned that there might be, if you get a letter of intent from an airline, it would likely include a request from the airline for the city to waive fees for 2 years, or up to 2 years. What fees would those be?
Those would be fees. So the FAA allows up to 2 years of fee waivers to support new air service, and those would be fees that would be directly affect the airline. So landing fees, any terminal space lease that they might need for ticket counters and offices, and any other fees that they would pay directly. Those are the two big ones. But we wouldn't waive things like parking fees, fuel flowage fees, those types of things, where the airline doesn't pay.
Okay.
So that'll be a bridge that we'll cross when we get to it. But typically, that's a pretty standard ask for an airline. It's almost a given. It's almost sort of a. If you can't, then we probably won't come. So we'll have to cross that bridge. The airlines that I've spoken to so far, I've made that clear to them. And if they were to submit a letter of intent, that would need to include a request to City Council, because that would be our next step. It would be contingent upon the waiver.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on the airport manager's report? All right. If there is nothing else, we can move on to our action items, agenda item 6. And we have 2 items to discuss today. I think the first one we're all really awaiting. So at the head of business is this letter that was distributed with the meeting materials. It's kind of restating our support for commercial air service development in Salem. I think, you know, we'll discuss it, but the idea would be we could have a motion that would basically state that the Airport Advisory Commission restates its support for commercial air service development in Salem, and we'd like to see return scheduled air service in Salem and Mary Field. And then, pending that being approved, then the letter that you see attached with the materials would be something you would send to the City Council.
So, Mr. Chairman, it might be helpful just in terms of this discussion. I've got if I put it in a little bit of a context why this is showing up on the agenda.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Help some folks kind of understand why this just popped up. So the next round of U.S. Department of Transportation Small Community Air Service Development Grants, the SCASD grant, that next grant window is expected to open in January of 2022, so prior to our next AAC meeting. And as a reminder, I have to get City Council approval to apply for and accept grants. So I'll be taking an action item to the City Council on December 6th, requesting permission to apply for that grant for the third time. We were unsuccessful in our first 2 rounds. And so this will be our 3rd application.
The amount of the grant?
I'm sorry? I did not hear that question, Ken.
I think Ken asked what the amount of the grant was.
The last 2, I believe we asked for $850,000. This next grant application hasn't been submitted yet, but I imagine we'll still apply for the same $850,000. But if you'll recall, prior to the first grant application, back in 2018, the AAC, in its July 23rd, 2018 meeting, voted to send a letter to the City Council supporting development efforts. And so given that 3 years have passed and now we're in our 3rd cycle, we thought it was a good time to visit with the AAC and ask for your reaffirmation or not the AAC support of commercial air service so that I can include an updated letter with my staff report that goes to City Council in December. So a draft copy of the letter is included in the packet, and it's really just essentially a regurgitation of 2018 letter. It's in draft form. It's not signed. It was just so that you folks could sort of recall what the original letter said. So you had something to discuss tonight. So hopefully that helps put a little bit of context on it. I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman, for discussion.
Right. Yeah. Basically, I think as you were pointing out, it's the same letter or essentially the same letter. Wrangled a little bit over the wording of it back then. Do we want to have a little discussion on this before we pursue a motion? I just want to open the floor to folks.
Honestly, I feel like we could just vote on it. We've talked about this particular issue multiple times in multiple meetings.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I guess maybe John, you can help me out with the exact wording of the appropriate motion here. But what I'd like to see is one of the members move to that the AAC restates the support as outlined in this letter,
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman, that's probably just a good summary right there. And again, I guess I could have mentioned this in my opening, but you know, every 2-3-4 years we get a new council too, and it's a pretty different council makeup now than it was 3 years ago. So I thought it was important for the council to see, as part of my staff report, the Citizen Advisory Commission, which is what the Airport Advisory Commission is, if they do continue to support. That way they're not held to something that was voted on for you. But I think your summary motion is appropriate.
I saw a move to send the letter on to council.
They get a second?
I second.
Awesome. All right, well then we'll do a roll call vote for this motion.
Is there any conflict of interest?
Anybody on the Airport Advisory Commission have any conflict of interest with commercial air support of commercial air service? Any financial interest or?
Yeah, I guess I don't hear anybody coming forward with any kind of conflict of interest there. But so I guess we can go on with the motion. I'll do a roll call vote and vote yes to approve the letter and send it on to the city council. No if you don't. All right. Doug Brenneiser.
Yes.
Lieutenant Commander Edgecombe.
Yay.
Brendan O'Mara.
Yay.
Ken Geddes.
No.
Kat Pence.
Yay.
Neil White.
Yay.
And John Volley votes yes as well. So with that item, we've approved that motion, and I guess John will get that letter sent to the city council. Will that go in December?
I'll send it to you for signature, John, as the chair, and then
right.
I'll include it in my staff report package for the December 6th Airport Advisory, or I'm sorry, the city council.
All right, excellent, thank you. So now we can move on to the second action item, and just generically, it regards a lease waiver for an electric aircraft charging station at the airport. And I think, John, you probably have some more information here.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you'll recall, back in the July AAC meeting, I shared with the commission a proposal from a company called Beta Technologies to install an electric aircraft charging station on the general aviation ramp north of the Flight Deck Restaurant, along with two automobile electric charging stations on the north end of the Flight Deck Restaurant, parking lot, I should say. As this project continues to progress, the airport will be coordinating with Beta and with Salem Aviation Fueling as the fuel provider. We're considering electric fuel as well as fossil fuel, on the ground lease and the service agreement to manage the system once it's installed. But given that there's likely to be little, if any, use of the system in the short term, possibly in the medium term, and therefore little or no revenue or profit for either entity, it's essentially going to be a service that we'll provide. The airport has agreed to seek a fee waiver from the city council for the standard ground lease that we would enter into for somebody to use our property for their services. And that would just essentially be for the pad generators we sit on. I don't yet have a definitive location or a final lease footprint, but it's likely that between now and the end of the year, a final design will be complete, the lease footprint will be established, and then pending city council approval of the fee waiver, we would sign that service agreement, or the FBO would likely sign that with the company. So without having the final design, my estimate is that we're talking about probably about 64 square feet of space, very, very small amount, which at our current lease rates would amount to about $25 a year in lease revenue, so negligible loss of revenue. And it's my assumption that the city council will support that in support of having electric aircraft and electric automobile charging stations installed at the airport at no cost to the airport. And then, of course, so tonight I'm seeking the AAC's support of a lease waiver in support of electric aircraft and automobile charging stations at the airport. And then the result of your vote will also be included in my staff report to City Council sometime later this year.
John, question. Is that a quick charge station for the automobiles?
I don't know the answer to that, Neil. I know it's a considered a quick charge station for the aircraft side. I guess I would assume the vehicle side would be too, but I don't know enough about electric charging stations to answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly get you an update if you'd like.
No, we're good.
That was one station with two ports, is that right?
Yeah, so initially, I guess I could share screen if I could find. I actually included the map, the kind of ramp layout in the AAC's packet. We show a full build out of probably three charging stations, three aircraft charging stations, and then you can see the two up in the flight deck parking lot for automobiles, since they're co-located, they have to accommodate automobiles as well. Initially, I think they would put in probably one station that would serve one aircraft, and then we'd probably grow it to two or three as demand increased. But that hasn't quite been figured out yet. They may just go ahead and install two stations of two of the three initially, since they're going to be doing the construction anyway. But I don't have the final lease footprint yet or how many charging stations will be installed on the aircraft side. There'll be either one or two, but I do know on the automobile side they're planning for two parking stations.
Question.
Go ahead, Ken.
John, there's two handicap parking and two open parking. I presume you're using the open parking. Those are right next to dumpsters that are, the lids are left open. You can tell by the birds flying in and out of them. And during the summer months, that would potentially create quite a stink. And cars parked next to that would also gain that aroma. Why not closer to the services building on the south side of the flight deck? And there's certainly more employees around the general aviation terminal with the control tower and the city offices and the general aviation offices and also the state building that's there. To me, that seems like a more ideal location. Now, I know you want to tie that, or they want to tie that near the generator that's creating the electricity for the aircraft, but it just seems for vehicle parking and encouragement of electrical vehicles that those two spaces next to the dumpsters are, in my estimation, not the best ideal locations.
Yeah, so a couple of things, I guess a couple of responses. One, we certainly can work with the flight deck restaurant on dumpster location and dumpster closures, those sorts of things. But the second thing I would say is that this proposal is being brought forward by a private company that's paying the entire cost of installing what they would like as an aircraft electric charging station. Given the co-location of those two spots at the far end, as you suggested, they're just past the handicap parking spots, and the location of the nearby generator, it's just at the top of the hill from where the aircraft generating station would be. It just seemed like a good spot for them to just go ahead and expand and put a couple spaces there. So elsewhere on the airport wouldn't be part of their project. That would be a separate project, and I don't imagine that they would install that because they're in the business of aircraft charging. But certainly I agree that there are other places on the airport that would be suitable for electric charging stations too. And I think as the city continues to build some of those out, and I don't know if that's city projects or if that's a private company that's installing those, but there will be some additional locations that would be suitable for sure.
General Motors published yesterday that they're going to support 40,000 electric generators through their dealers and other concerns. That might be a source of supplying electric power to other locations.
Agreed. Well, I will certainly pass that on to Beta, but again, I think that's their proposed location, unless they can. And then, of course, some of it has to do with how far PGE has to run the power from 25th Street into the property down the hill. So for them to run it elsewhere, a different resource.
There's already a light pole that's receiving power right there at that corner of, north of the flight deck restaurant.
else, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion on this before we have a motion and a vote?
And what are we voting on?
Well, the proposal would be, and I guess if I could have one of y'all, a motion in support of waiving the lease for this electric aircraft charging station. I don't know if that's the precise language, but basically making sure they don't have to pay the lease fees for the small amount of area they're using for the station.
Or how long?
I will probably, so the first service agreement they're asking for is for a 10-year period. So I'll probably line up my request with that. It'll probably be sometime between now and that 10th year when we actually start seeing use of that system.
But I think if I recall your estimate, that was about probably a total $250 worth of revenue.
For the 10-year period, yeah. It's going to be probably around $25 to $30 per year land lease revenue that we won't collect, but certainly it'll be a service that I think everybody wants to provide.
Weren't there a half a dozen landing pads on your map?
There's some additional parking spaces for future build out. That's more of a guide for me to look at how I would have to restripe the ramp and how many tie downs I would have to take out. If in the next so many years we get enough demand and I have to move aircraft around. So an aircraft charges up and then needs to move out of that space to a parking area so that another aircraft can charge up. We want to be able to show how many spaces.
And how are these airplanes connected to the charging system?
I don't know the specifics, but I understand that there's a charging port that's near the nose of the aircraft, and so it looks like a long, you've probably seen them with the automobile charging stations, sort of a long hose and then just a connector. This company actually is doing a universal adapter so that any company's electric aircraft could come in the stations to it. It wouldn't be exclusive just for theirs. One of the things they pointed out to me is they learned a lot from the automobile industry, and they want to be able to serve all electric aircraft with their charging stations. But I understand that's nose in, nose out.
So there would be a port on the ground, electric port, built into the runway?
No, it's actually a tall charging station. It looks like a gas pump with a long nose and a little connector at the end. It's probably about 6 feet tall. I showed a picture of it in the July meeting. I don't have a picture to show you tonight, but it's a charging station terminal that sits on a concrete pad. It's got a couple of hoses, and you can run your credit card through it. That sort of thing.
Just concerned about aircraft hitting that as they're moving around. You've got general aviation aircraft coming out of that flight repair area.
Right, well, that's why you'll notice on the map that we have to strike the ramp appropriately, and we'll probably have some differentiating markings on the ground of different colors to let folks know that that's for electric aircraft only. But the lead in and lead out lines across the ramp will be restriped so that there won't be any conflict with any other type of aircraft. All
right, is there any other questions or discussion?
No, thanks, John.
Could I ask one of you folks to make a motion to support the lease of this, the lease waiver for this electric aircraft charging station at the airport?
I also move.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All right, we will do another roll call vote. John Brennheiser.
Aye.
Lieutenant Commander Edgecombe.
Yay.
Brendan Amara.
Yay.
Ken Geddes.
Yes.
Kat Pence.
Yay.
Neil White.
Aye.
And John Foley votes yay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So that item was passed. So that was the action we had for this meeting. The next agenda item would be items for commission discussion. Were there any other items to discuss this evening that folks want to bring up? All right, seeing none, we can move on to the last agenda item, which is the chair's report. And I don't have anything except for just a reminder that our next meeting is in January. And it's once again time to elect officers. So chair and vice chair positions. So please be thinking about who you would like to nominate for those positions in anticipation of that meeting. And if folks are interested in either of those and have questions, please feel free to ask me or Doug or John what's involved. Yeah, that's all I had. And if there's nothing else, then we can adjourn. Oh, go ahead, Ken.
John, you sent out a announcement about terms for the commissioners, and I will not be seeking a renomination to the office for another 3 years. 3 years has been enough.
Thank you for letting me know. I knew there was a third, and I couldn't remember who that was. Thank you, Ken. I'll pass it on to the city and the mayor's office.
Okay.
Thank you. If that's the case, then that means this is your last meeting, so I would like to thank you for your service and for your...
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Your board.
I will be serving as a director on the local community association, NESCA, North area.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, before you adjourn, since this is our last meeting of the year, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everybody happy holidays, Thanksgiving, and all the upcoming things that are happening.
Thank you. And I guess
thank you.
If I am, I don't want to put Brendan on the spot, but I believe he is not going to be seeking a reappointment for this next term.
That's correct. Thanks, John.
So I just wanted to say thanks to you and to Ken for your service on the AAC, and hope to continue to see you guys in the future.
That sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right. And I guess I didn't realize you were not going to continue on either. So I want to thank you for your service on the commission too.
Sure. Thanks, John.
All right. Well, that being said, I think we can adjourn our meeting for this evening. Thank you all very much.